Hello, my name is Steph Boulay, and this is the fourth and final episode in our mini-series called Research Bites. At a recent think tank for the Australian Eating Disorders Research and Translation Centre, I had the chance to speak with some of the leading eating disorder researchers from across the world. The centre is a national consortium led by Inside Out, and the think tank was conducted to map out a way forward for research to be led by the centre. At the think tank, I had the chance to speak with the delightful Hannah Watson, who is a consortium member with the centre. Hannah is an associate professor at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and an adjunct research associate at Curtin University and the University of Western Australia. I started by asking her to tell us about some of her research.
So my research is very broad. It addresses causes, prevalence, prevention, and treatment of eating disorders. And to give you a few examples of some of my favourite research studies I've had the fortune to be involved with, one was a large genetic study. We conducted research with 17,000 people with a lifetime history of anorexia and 55,000 individuals who are our healthy controls, so didn't have anorexia in their lifetime. And we found from that study several parts of the genome, eight regions of the genome in total that were associated with anorexia nervosa, so giving us some clues to the genetics and the biology behind anorexia, because we've always known that it runs in families, we just don't know what the biological mechanisms are. And excitingly, we also found that not only was there genetic overlap with other psychological disorders, so we usually think of it as a psychological disorder, but there was also strong genetic overlap with parts of the DNA that explain weight and metabolic factors, such as insulin, leptin, type 2 diabetes, and HDL cholesterol. And why this is important is it's not correlations between anorexia and, you know, weight when someone steps on a scale per se. It's correlations between the genetic propensity for anorexia and then the genetics that give rise to a person's weight and metabolic functioning over their whole lifespan, you know, from birth essentially. So we were able to reconceptualize anorexia as essentially a metabo-psychiatric disorder. And that research was led by Professor Cindy Bulick at the University of North Carolina. Another favorite study we conducted with a Norwegian pregnancy cohort. So 100,000 women were enrolled at pregnancy, and we were investigating how common eating disorders were during pregnancy. And we looked at new onset of eating disorders during pregnancy, as well as continuation and remission rates during pregnancy. And we found eating disorders were really common, affecting 1 in 20 pregnant women, especially binge eating disorder. And we found that that some eating disorders persisted during pregnancy if they were there before pregnancy, such as binge eating disorder. And then for other eating disorders, such as bulimia nervosa, purging disorder, there was some evidence of remission during pregnancy, but in the postpartum period, they would return. So that was some work that gave us important clues about how women who are pregnant, they're often reluctant to disclose their eating disorder, and the eating disorder is associated with adverse effects on the unborn child as well. So it's really important to address eating disorders during pregnancy to promote the best outcomes for mothers and their children.
Really important work. Are there going to be follow-up studies on that one?
Yes, we are actually doing some research. There's some research underway where we want to, so through our genetics research, we're able to calculate a risk score for onset of eating disorders. And we have done some research now looking at children and adolescents who are at high genetic risk. So this is the children of the pregnant women who are at high genetic risk of anorexia. And we're looking to see, you know, what kind of eating behaviours and behaviours related to social functioning, mental health, personality, explained by the genetic components of the illness, and we're actually looking at following up the children in that study as they come of age into eating disorders to look at their propensity for developing eating disorders and how we can predict them using that their birth data, essentially.
Oh, I can't wait to read that. So what are you most excited about in eating disorder research more broadly at the moment?
One of the things I'm really excited about is some research being done by my colleague, Dr. Anna Badone-Cohn at the University of North Carolina. So she is looking at developing a definition of recovery in eating disorders. So when we've looked at recovery in clinical trials, researchers will use different definitions of remission and recovery, and it's hard to compare, you know, treatment success across research, and also definitions of recovery that clinicians have are quite different from definitions of people with lived experience from eating disorders. And so she's trying to hone in more on what would be a useful definition of recovery that we could use across the field. And she's looking particularly at, are those conceptualizations of remission and recovery, are they stable over time? If we can define a person as recovered at the end of treatment or at any point in time, does that mean that has long-term stability and they're still recovered, you know, 5 years, 10 years later, or is it actually a poor definition of recovery? So, yeah, I'm involved in some of that research, and looking forward to the outcomes of that.
And what do you think is the most burning research question for eating disorders?
I think that a lot of people who, whether they're someone with lived experience of eating disorders or they're researchers or clinicians in the field, we all want to know what causes eating disorders and how to best care for people with eating disorders. And for me in particular, I have an interest in how best the community can help manage and address eating disorders, not only when individuals are in that acute phase of illness, but before they've even developed, and what can we do to prevent them and care for our community across the entire spectrum of illness, from, you know, healthy to at risk to starting to develop symptoms to have an illness or had an illness but have potential for relapse.
And what are your hopes for the Australian Eating Disorder Research and Translation Centre?
I am hoping that the centre will create a lasting legacy and build out research infrastructure, conduct cross-disciplinary research where we can integrate, you know, more traditional psychotherapist viewpoints and studies with biological sciences perspectives. And I am hoping that the centre will also be able to identify national research priorities and focus on translating evidence into practice.
And what drew you to the field of eating disorders in the first place?
When I finished my doctoral research, I began work at an outpatient clinic staffed by clinical psychologists in a research role. And as part of that, there was an eating disorder program at the service. And I felt like the eating disorder program, I felt like I was quite surprised that the field was behind other fields such as anxiety and depression, in that diagnoses were not yet well established. There were over 50% of people with eating disorders were being caught by a diagnostic category, eating disorders not otherwise specified or referred to EDNOS from the DSM. And I was also surprised that there weren't necessarily evidence-based treatments for people with eating disorders, particularly not very strong treatments for anorexia nervosa. And that just struck me, that it felt like eating disorders was like kind of an underdog in the field of psychology and psychiatry. And so I really wanted to get in there and help figure out, you know, if there was any way I could you know, contribute any skills I had to help figure out what are the diagnostic boundaries, the diagnoses, and what treatments and preventions are going to best serve people in the community.
To find out more about Hannah's work, please check the show notes. I've also put a link there to find out more about the Australian Eating Disorders Research and Translation Centre and about Inside Out Institute. Catch you next time.
If you or a loved one needs support, please head to our website or call the National Eating Disorders Helpline at Butterfly on 1800 ED HOPE or 1800 33 46 73.